This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Okay, Mott, and this is, we start off blitz crazy. I mean, I think we had five blitzes in the first 16 plays that they ran on offense, and we were giving up huge chunks. You know, ended up giving, I quit counting. After eight plays of 20 yards or more, I quit counting.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Yeah, me too, Coach. I don't know how many plays of 20 yards or more that the 49ers finished with, but I know they pummeled the Bears 38-13 at Levi's Stadium outside of San Francisco yesterday. I am Rami Makhlouf. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Feel free to jump in on the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And I'm just a start of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Olin Krutz joins Mully and Haw at 7 a.m., DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9, Midday Show with Bernstein and Harris, Anthony Herron at 11, Dan Wiederer at 1, Afternoon Show with Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner at 3, Mark Grody at 4, Jalen Johnson at 5, and then on Tuesday, TJ Edwards will join the Bernstein and Harris Show. All those guys are going to give you the dish on the Chicago Bears, especially the guys that play for the Chicago Bears and some of the more outspoken ones like DJ Moore and Jalen Johnson and TJ Edwards. Hear them only right here on 670 The Score. And as I mentioned, Olin Krutz, former Bears center, and you hear him often throughout the week right here on 670 The Score. He's also the host of our postgame show along with Mully and Patrick Manley. And here's a little bit of those guys after an embarrassing 38-13 loss to the 49ers.
Boy, that was god-awful. I don't know how you describe that game, but for a while there, I thought Olin had it nailed, but the Bears, you know, dropped the two-point conversion. Wow. Pat, that was god-awful.
Yeah, it was just bad. You know, we had that embarrassment on Thanksgiving, and fortunately, this game was not prime time, but this is a different type of embarrassment. I mean, it's now time for the players to look in the mirror. You know, they're done blaming coaching, right? Yes. They got what they wanted done. Matt Eberflus is not there. We all heard him all week say, hey, it's better now that he's gone. It's basically what they said. Well, now it's time to look at yourself, because that was an embarrassment. That was an embarrassment of play for players. Obviously, the coaches got out-coached. You have a backup DC, backup offensive coordinator going against Shanahan and Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley over there, and they got pantsed. They got out-coached bad, especially in the first half. When you see those stats of 300-plus yards to 4 yards, that's embarrassing. So it's just bad how bad this problem is. But the thing is, to me now, of all the coaches or all the players been complaining about the coaches, it's time for them to look in the mirror and think about themselves and figure it out.
Yeah, it's well said, Pat. And we went into the game, you know, thinking like the 49ers had a huge advantage on their coaching staff, right? And how were they – going to overcome it. If the NFL is what we think it is, then we know that, you know, energy and a bump and playing harder, those things don't win a lot of football games in the NFL, right? Talent and elite coaching usually wins. And when you have a guy like Kyle Shanahan, you better show up with a game plan, right? And their defense coordinator, Sorensen, did a great job, too, with those complex zones he was showing Caleb in the first half and the offense. And Thomas Brown, and you move Thomas Brown from OC to head coach and give him more duties. It's hard enough to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. And everybody up there at Halas Hall acting like, man, everything's going to be all right now. It was crazy to me all week, right? And that's why when you guys asked me what I thought the score was going to be, I said 31-14. And I was off by 1.7, right? Because, look, I mean, all you got to do is look at them. Look at who they're going against. Look at who they're going to play. We asked the 49ers radio guy, like, you're telling me they're decimated, but when I look at this roster, the talent still matches up with the Bears, right?
Yeah.
So it's just eventually someone, like you're saying, Pat, pregame we said they're like Neo from the Matrix, the way they avoid responsibility, right, the players for the Bears. There is film, right? When the players are talking, I'm wondering if they are really watching the film. Are the coaches really telling them, look, this is your responsibility. This is really what you have to do there, right? Like we're saying, okay, Eberflus got fired for game management, and no one would argue that with his record, his game management. But, Pat, at the end of the game, I mean, I watched the Bears' extra point today. Guess what the left side of the line did on the field goal?
Yep.
They got run over.
Yep.
Again.
Yep.
Right, again, they have not fixed that. They have not fixed that. Cole Kmet drops a pass, right? It's just DJ Moore drops a pass. A lot of guys doing the talking are not making the plays that need to be made to win football games. So, like you're saying, eventually, I don't even know, guys, like, even if the players take blame now, I don't know what that does. Right? I don't know what that does. You have the same guys in the building.
Yeah, and they just got to play better. I mean, I'll give you another example. Tremaine Edmonds gets beat by Kittle, right? And he kind of loafs after him going into the red zone. There was another play, I think it was the last touchdown, where they walked in. The wide receiver, Chris Connolly, is washing him down on the goal line. And I'm like, that shouldn't be happening. A wide receiver should not be taking your 6'5", 265-pound middle linebacker and getting you washed down in the goal line. I think a little bit it was schemed up. I think Kyle Shanahan had a nice little scheme where he got him on the side, but there's just things like that that you see that, guys, you got to pick up your play. You're getting paid a lot of money to be the stars of this team. You're a captain, all that kind of stuff. And that's why I'm saying that the players got to look in the mirror. And, you're right. I just think they're so far stuck in whatever they're in right now. What is that going to do? I don't know. But I would love to hear them personally take responsibility of their play and say, yes, that's embarrassing. That's not good enough. Instead of saying, well, you know, if coach would have made a better call, yes, all that's true. But really, it's down to these players right now. They need to, for these next four games, really look at themselves and say, okay, what can we do to not go out there and embarrass ourselves? That's what they've been doing. They've gone out there and embarrassed themselves at the end of games, and especially this one with their play.
Yeah, I heard they got Eberflus on the cell phone so they could all scream at him after this game. You know,
oh, man.
It's just when you listen to these guys talk, Mully, you got to, like, wow. Actually, like, Pat will probably say this too. I don't want to speak for him, so I'll speak for myself. We actually pull back on the radio, right? We actually don't say everything we really think about the things we hear coming out of Halas Hall, about the things that are said on the podium by coaches and players. I heard too many coaches this week talking about, we talked about the problems that we had and we're going to fix those. And it was just too much, Thomas Brown, not against him, obviously. I mean, he's in a tough spot. Mm-hmm. He's got to clean up this mess. But, you know, Pat, when he said, look, good coaches, they stay, bad coaches are gone, and great coaches get promoted. Like you don't realize you're talking about Eberflus and yourself then, I guess, when you say that.
Right.
It's just when I hear these things, I can almost guarantee a loss for a team because in my mind, you have no self-awareness of what you're actually saying, of what's actually going on in the building. And here's the thing, Mully and Pat, when people talk about why do people keep saying put a football guy in the building? Right, put a football guy to oversee some of the things that are going on. Because when you're talking about Pat, when you're talking about Tremaine Edmonds, the football guy who knows what's going on would put that film on and ask Ryan Pose, what did you see when you gave this guy $70 million and you let Roquan go?
Yep.
Right? What did you see in Nate Davis, right? What did you, who the rumor is now he walked away from the team against the Patriots, yep. Right? What did you see in him? Like, someone has to ask the questions that actually understands what they see on film, and that's what Hallisaw is missing. The self-awareness of what is actually going on in the building, on the football field, with your football team. They do not have it up there. And we can say it over and over again. Until they get sick of it, it does not matter.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, the opening of the game was absolutely abysmal. The first half, you had more punts than yards, if that's humanly possible. They said,
yeah, it was the same first half as last week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only, and they, I guess they're a second half team, but, you know, you can't fault. They were down 16-0 at halftime last week. They were down 24-0 this way. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't know how you start that poorly. Where is this coach bounce that everybody was talking about?
I got a question for you guys. Is this good coaching that they play so poorly in the first half that they have to come out and prevent defense for the second half, and then Caleb can go out there and sling it around? Is that what they're trying to do? I'm just joking, but yeah, it's been that bad, right?
Wow.
Like, they changed the defensive game plan in the second half because they're down by so much.
Mully, it's what we were worried about going into the game, right?
Yes.
Because if you watch the film, you saw Coach Eberflus making play calls in the red zone, putting his guys in position to make plays, right? And to be honest, today it looked like they weren't matching their coverage with the call up front, and Kyle Shanahan was out guessing Eric Washington today. And look, like we talked about going into the game, you're talking about a top two or three play caller in the whole NFL, man. I mean, what a time to get your opportunity, right? What a time to get your shot going against a guy who needs to win to keep his team in the playoffs. And you saw it today. You saw them making plays.
Well, I love George Kittle because he's a Bears fan. He grew up in Iowa. His old man was a Bears fan. He's always talking about it. I get a kick out of that guy. I don't understand why you left him in zone coverage the entire bloody game. It seemed like every time he caught the ball, he was kind of ready to put his head down and run for another 10 yards. There was no one in the same area code in some of those. The zip code was different for the defender versus a tight end. I don't know that made an ounce of sense to me.
Yeah, well, those tight end screens are pretty elite play calls, too. You know what I mean? Those are plays you really can't double, right? That's just kind of schemed up and putting him in the spot that he's just going to get the ball. And he's one of those players that's just a difference maker when he's on the field, no matter if he's double teamed or not. You just scheme up plays where you get the ball in his hand, 1 yard down the field, 2 yards down the field, he's still going to do something. And that's credit to, you know, obviously John Lynch or whoever drafted him there to get that player and develop him, but also Kyle Shanahan scheming that stuff up, because that's just – It's unfair, but when you have a player like that, that's just great coaching to put him in a position to be able to do what he can to max his skill out. It's kind of impressive what Kyle's doing.
Yeah, he recognized really early how aggressive the Bears were, right, Pat? And
yes,
you're talking about that screen earlier on the first drive to Kittle, and they brought Kyler Gordon on the blitz.
Yep.
The running back picks him up. The Bears are really aggressive trying to stop the run. And then, like you know, the linebackers, when they're aggressive against the run, they run up to stop the run, and they turn and run to cover the pass in zone. And perfect play call by Kyle Shanahan and execution, hitting Kittle there. But, that's what you thought going into the game. That's what you thought if you're a longtime observer of the NFL, when you heard everybody saying, man, the Bears are moving in a different direction, and they got these new coaches, and they all feel so much better about the way they feel in the building. I've never seen that win football games in the NFL, man. I never have. I've seen a good game plan and good football players that go out there and have been preparing since maybe March or April for football games in December. I've seen that win football games. I really have, man. But the whole, like, we talk to each other and we all get along and we're going to play harder and we love what he says and we love what this guy does. I've never seen that win in the NFL. I just haven't. As long as I followed it, as long as I played, the better players and the better coaches always win in the NFL.
Yep.
The losing streak for the Niners was at three games. And in those three games, they had, I believe it was seven explosive plays. They had seven, which are plays of 20 or more yards. They had seven by halftime. Mm-hmm. Like, it just felt like they could do anything that they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Molly, it was funny. I started writing down all those stats, and then I just quit. Yeah, I got tired because I'm not watching the game. If I'm writing down those stats to try to follow them, I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to watch the game. But you're right. I mean, it was just an embarrassment in the first half. And they just got out-coached, got out-plays. I mean, that's exactly what it is. When you see that stat, when they show that on Fox, 314 yards or whatever, 300 whatever yards to four.
319 to four.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a high school team, you know, in your top high school team going against a starter feeder school or something. And you don't have that in the NFL. Like, that's just – that's something you look at as a player when you get in the bus. Oh, and you know, we'd always get in the bus. You get your the stat sheets. You know, always look and see what everybody had and what's going on. And that one, you just, you know, as you're playing, you probably don't know it, but you get on the bus afterwards, you're just shaking your head like it. You knew it was bad, but when you read that, you didn't know it was that bad. And that's just, man, that's not good.
I remember we played the Eagles in 2000 and would have been the 2002 playoffs, right? It was the 2001 season. We were 13-3. And we went to that game, and I thought to myself, I feel like they know exactly what we're doing, right? I thought like they just on the field, it felt like you didn't have much of a chance, Pat, right? It just felt like these guys are very good. And years later, and anybody can look this up, 2001, you take a look at that defensive coaching staff and how stacked they were, the Philadelphia Eagles with Jim Johnson calling plays and Ron Rivera and Sean McDermott. And just Leslie Frazier, they were just guy coach after coach, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like watching the Bears when the Bears had Lovey and so, you know, and Rob Marinelli and all these good, really good coaches. You're kind of watching that today with Kyle Shanahan, right? He's just a step ahead. He's a step ahead, and that's why I'll continue to say that, you know, when you know, what do you think the score of this game is going to be, Olin? Well, 31-14, right? That's what I think the score is going to be, just because they have a better coaching staff, right? They have guys like Brandon Staley putting together that third down package that Caleb was looking at today, that zone, right? That zone. I mean, even I was like, where the hell do you throw that ball? Right? Where the hell are you going to throw that ball?
Right.
They never, you know, I thought Vilma did a good job talking about how Thomas Brown didn't commit to the run early, right? Because the 49ers was just dropping back into their deep zone, two deep safeties, and they weren't giving them anything. They were just giving them all the underneath stuff, even when they want to take a shot. So just, you know, a game like that, you know, the one thing you can hope if you're a Chicago fan is that our young coaching staff, and like Pat is saying, the players take some responsibility. Our young coaching staff learns a little bit from that game and gets better and better as we go here. But obviously, this team, man, as we know, Pat and Mully, watching the film, studying them all year, as we know, this team, your only problem wasn't Coach Eberflus.
Yeah, and that was made obvious. They're the guys, of course, Mully, along with Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz on the post-game show. Catch them after every Bears game. And, of course, catch Mully in just a few hours on Mully and Hall right here on The Score, and Patrick and Olin on all the shows throughout the week whenever we're talking Bears. So you can hear those guys' thoughts plenty. I always feel good when I have a thought or I say something, because I'm not that smart. You know what I mean? I'll just put that out. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I never played in the NFL. I know if you've seen me on video or seen a picture, you're like, what? You didn't? Yeah, no. My 5'8 frame didn't quite make it to the NFL. So when I say something or I have a thought or a notion or a feeling about the Bears, and then it's validated by guys who know a lot more than me and guys who have played the game at that level, I always appreciate that. That makes me sit back in my chair and go, oh, okay, I was right. I'm not crazy in seeing what I'm seeing or saying what I'm saying. And they now, I didn't hear that before. I was making baked ziti while the post game show was going on. Oh, it was so good. But they were saying there in that little clip what I've been saying since I came on the air at midnight, which is twofold. One, where's the pride? Where's the competitive edge or competitiveness? Again, I don't know if that's a word, but if the Bears don't care, then why should I? Where is that? How is there nobody in that locker room looking at each other and going, all right, this is when we got to do it. Got to step up. No excuses. No one to blame. This is going to be on us. They talked about that at the beginning, and then they talked at the end about just not being the better football team, not being the better coached, better prepared, more talented, just the better football team. You heard Olin say that's what wins. Like, for all the chemistry and we love each other and we're friends and we're all pulling in the same. That's what wins. The more talented, better coached, more prepared team wins football games. And whether it's on the personalities and the culture that these guys bring in the door with them, or whether it's just missing or misgauging their talent in the scouting process, Ryan Poles is missing something. He's missing something in evaluating these guys and deciding who's going to come in the door, both in terms of players and in terms of coach hires. Because for as good as it looks on paper, it sure don't translate to the field. And some of that you can just say, well, yeah, they're better. They have more talent. Some of that you can look at it and go, well, yeah, they have better coaching. But then there's some of it that's just, you got to look inward, man. And do you care enough to go out there and put a competitive product on the field after your head coach was fired and you were supposed to get some kind of bump or some kind of fire lit under your ass? Some of that has to come from within. And I think that's more than anything what culture means. What kind of guys you have in your building in terms of their mindset that they bring to work every day. A certain level of pride that they bring to work every day. That they wouldn't let what we saw happen yesterday. Just on pure pride. You don't even have to win the game. Get me more perfect losses. Like Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit, where your quarterback looked great, your terrible head coach was exposed, you helped your draft position, got the coach out the door, but kept the arrow moving in the right direction on your franchise QB.
Well, not what does a perfect loss look like now that Matt Eberflus is out of the picture.
It's still keep losing for draft position. We accomplished one of the objectives, which was get Matt Eberflus fired. Now the other objective is help your draft position while developing Caleb Williams. We don't need to win any more games, but damn, man, you don't have to be embarrassing out there.
So come close to the win, but don't find a way to completely botch clock, get a field goal block, just be like a little bit short.
Whatever it takes. By any means necessary.
I think I'm on board with your theory now.
Let's go to Oak Forest and get in Ryan. Ryan, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, buddy?
Listen, I could do away with those short last-second losses for a while now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this last one was any better, but...
Not as heartbreaking. They didn't go viral for the way they lost. That's cool.
Yeah, there is a silver lining there. Well, I'm usually working during the game, and I do a pretty good job of not overhearing anyone tell me the score of the game before I go home to watch. But if somebody did, I'd have been shocked to know that it was such a blowout. You know, but watching it, it just felt like it took forever.
Yep.
Just watching the whole thing. And I want to say that, well... You know, you want to say, well, I knew it was over by halftime, but this is Bears football, so we catch fire at least one quarter a game. These slow starts have been something that really ails us, and we can never really talk about it because of how dramatic the ending of the game has been. Time and time again, we put up the saddest numbers ever to start the game. And I don't know what Caleb Williams is or isn't seeing, but him and the whole team seem to got figure it out as if we have some kind of like tell or something, some kind of formulaic tell. And I'm not sure what that is. Something is leaky though, and we need to call the plumber, you know?
No, Ryan, you're 100% right. I appreciate the call. They're not in the positions they're in at the end of games if they get off to stronger starts to begin games. You know what I mean? It's like you're not in those spots to lose at the last second if you had 10 or 13 points in the first half instead of zero again and 4 yards. I'm talking about previous losses now, not the one that we just saw yesterday. But yeah, man, these slow starts are a problem. What that screams to me is two things. One, you're a better game day coaching staff than you are a week leading up to the game coaching staff. Like you're not getting these guys prepared and showing them what they need to be ready for throughout the week, but you're really good at noticing things during the game and making changes and adjustments to get yourself back into it as the game goes on. That's one of the things that tells me or might tell you. The other thing is these guys just don't come out ready to play football. And I mean that from the mental and emotional standpoint of playing a violent game and waking up on a Sunday morning and going, I got to be in the right frame of mind from the first second of that.
I'm going to go out there and kick some ass today.
From opening kickoff to the end, they need to be slapped around to get woken up. They need to get pissed off or feel like their back's against the wall to go out and compete at a high level. And that's never going to work in the NFL, man. That will never, ever work in the NFL. You're going to lose a lot more games than you win if you keep pulling this crap.
It's just scaring me now that they're going to be on a national stage yet again next week. And they're coming in at, like, arguably rock bottom.
I'm going to be here for that. I'm going to be here doing the overnight show again.
Me too.
Next Monday night.
Let's do it.
And we're going to have another special co-host who won the opportunity in our Cubs for a Cure auction. So it won't just be my voice you're hearing next week. I'll have a special co-host here with me. But yeah, man, it was, I can't remember who. I want to give the person proper credit for their quote or their tweet. I don't remember who it was. I'm going to draw a blank now. But whenever the Bears are on national TV, I feel like I'm taking an embarrassing family member to a function of like, man, please don't embarrass me tonight. You know what I mean? Like, let's just, you don't have to be aces. The Bears, nobody's expecting the Bears to come out next Monday and look like a Super Bowl contender, but just don't embarrass me, man. Just don't embarrass me as a fan like you did today, like you did yesterday, like you did last week, like you did the week before that, like you did in Washington, like you did in New England. Just don't embarrass us again next week.
If Caleb Williams can come close to what he did against Minnesota in the first meeting, I guess I can. It's going to suck to lose, but if he plays how he did again, I won't be that upset.
Taking your thoughts on the Bears, you are the star of the show here on Overnights. 312-644-6767. Got a bunch of texts I haven't gotten to yet. You heard the phone lines ringing off the hook while Tyler was talking there. He'll answer those. He'll screen those. He'll get you on the air. 312-644-6767. And we'll hear more from you right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you on Score Overnights on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.
Shoot. Yeah, we got
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Find a way to get some points in the first half. Better yet, the first quarter, and can't put all the pressure on the defense.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
319-4 total yards in the first half. What can you do but laugh at a number like that, even if you're a Bears fan? Like, it's so bad, you just got to laugh. In an embarrassing 38-13 loss to the 49ers yesterday, I am Rami Makhlouf. It is Score Overnight on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. And you're the star of this show at 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the text line, on the phone lines, 312-644-6767. I am remiss in not mentioning, you might have missed this with everything going on with the Bears yesterday. Maybe you were locked in on your fantasy team. Slipped through the cracks for me till I got to the station and heard Ryan Hickey talking about it on Infinity Sports Radio. Juan Soto to the Mets, from the Yankees to the Mets. For 15 years, $765 million. I did the math in my head. I didn't need a calculator. It was just short of $70 million a year to get Juan Soto. That's a lot of money, man. And I don't have a lot of time or energy to get pissed off about something other than the Bears tonight. I understand that's a lot of money. I understand you might get outbid by the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers of the world. But would it kill you to pick up the phone if you're the Chicago Cubs and just, hey, what's it going to? They weren't even in on it. They weren't even rumored to be interested in Juan Soto this year. And last year, I bought it when they were like, hey, we tried with Shohei. Hey, we tried for Juan Soto. Like, I bought it. I was like, hey, you tried. You got outbid. You're a big market, but you got outbid by bigger markets. Happens. To not even call. That's, as I've been saying about the Bears all morning long, that's embarrassing. You're not a small market team. You're a big market team. You can play with the big boys, and you can pay with the big boys. But I digress. Back to the Bears at 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the south side. And Pat, you're on the Score. What you got on these Bears, man?
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Let me give a quick shout-out to the late Les Grodzki. He used to call him late night all the time. And I'd love to talk to you, too, about the same thing, but I wanted to give a shout-out to him. I haven't been on the late-night call since I talked to him lately.
Love that, man. I'm not here doing what I do if not for a Les Grobstein. So shout-out from me
100%,
as well.
I appreciate what you do, too.
Thank you, man.
So Friday, Holmes and Spiegel had, I think his name was Dan Weider. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I heard it.
On
yeah.
the show. And he said, Holmes asked him, straight up, what would Thomas Brown need to do to keep his job? And I like Dan a lot. Weider, I think he was very good. And he said, for stars, they need wins. And he said, like, three wins. So now you got, what, four games left? Even if they win three on the next four, Thomas Brown cannot be an option. Am I right?
I wouldn't say not
after this game. I can't see it, right?
I wouldn't say not an option. This game didn't do a lot to help his case. I was somebody who was going into these final five games with an open mind about Thomas Brown. I obviously didn't like what I saw yesterday. I still wouldn't entirely close the book on it, but I'll also say explore every option, check under every rock, and
and go outside your comfort zone a little bit in looking for your next head coach.
So my one point on that would be like, okay, if you like, everyone's high on Thomas Brown based on how Caleb has done over the past three games, blah, blah, blah. But okay, look at how the defense fared today with no Eberflus, in the sense, like, I think that's one thing that needs to be addressed, in that, like, no, you need a guy that knows a little bit of the offense, a little bit of the defense. And like, Eberflus knew a lot of the defense and we got shredded today. Everyone liked how Thomas Brown handled Caleb over the games with Eberflus, and he got shredded today strictly because you need someone that has both sides of the ball, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, and I appreciate the call, Pat. Again, I'm not ruling out Thomas Brown. Today doesn't do a lot to help his case at all. That's an embarrassing performance, and there's nobody within the Bears organization, especially people who went out onto that field today, coaches and players alike, who escapes any criticism or blame from me. And I don't think anybody else on the score today. But that being said, I'm still not entirely ruling out Thomas Brown as a head coaching candidate. And it's not even just the 3 weeks with Caleb Williams that carries so much weight with me. It's the fact that this guy has been a quickly rising star in the coaching ranks. It's the fact that he was moving up quickly on Sean McVay's staff, which is the best coaching tree going in the NFL right now. And you hear what Sean McVay has to say about this guy, and he's absolutely glowing reviews for Thomas Brown. That carries a lot of weight with me. You know what? This guy is probably going to be a head coach in this league one day. If he's ready for it, if he's the right guy for the Bears, I don't know. But the track record of him to this point, and how quickly he's gotten to this point, and the people who he has backing him, does carry a lot of weight with me. As far as the defensive side of the football and what we saw from them today, that's still a lot of Matt Eberflus's influence. So we have to start there. And also, and this was a point I talked with on Wednesday. I was doing the evening show, and Steve Palazzolo from the Check the Mic podcast was my guest, and he brought up a good point that I hadn't really thought of, because I asked him about the possibility of Thomas Brown being a head coach, and he said, whatever happens these next five games, there are things that go into being a head coach that we're not going to know about Thomas Brown. Like, for all the game day stuff and the week of prep that goes into a game and how he handles the media, all that stuff will get answered to a degree. But in terms of putting together an offseason program, hiring his own coaching staff, like, you won't know that until next year. If he was to get the job, and seeing what he does, how he handles an entire offseason. So I don't think we know what a Thomas Brown defense is going to look like. Now, he's not running a defense, he's not calling a defense, but I don't think we're going to know what a Thomas Brown defense looks like until we see Thomas Brown hire his own defensive coordinator. Right now, this is still the remnants and the residue of the Matt Eberflus era that we're looking at. And, well, we know that wasn't good. I was saying earlier, the 49ers, three straight losses, 50-plus points put on them in the last 3 weeks, a ton of injuries, but they got the Bears. That's the panacea. That's your Tussin for whatever might ail you. From the 224, ask your doctor if Bears is right for you today. I don't know what the side effects are when you take Bears to cure all that ails you. I don't know what the side effects are. But yes, if you're an NFL team out there, ask your doctor if Bears is right for you today. They just might be what you're looking for to help you with all your football woes. This from the 630. That locker room got exactly what they deserved yesterday. They acted like little brats after the Lions game, so they deserve to be embarrassed in this one. This doesn't abdicate Matt Eberflus from blame or justify anything he did or make those guys wrong for turning on him in the final weeks of his tenure as the Bears head coach. He was every bit as bad as we've all been saying he is. And he was every bit as bad as those players in the locker room knew he was. And I'm not going to sit here and justify or defend a guy yelling at his coach, you know what I mean, or whatever their authority figure or person above them in their infrastructure or hierarchy might be. But at the same time, I understand frustration, and I understand it bubbling over and it resulting in what we saw after the Detroit game. I don't think that's them being babies. I think that's them being human beings and looking at another human being who failed them time and time again, and we're tired of hearing the same old message after he failed them time and time again. It's not something, again, that I'm going to defend or justify. I don't know that anybody should ever be yelling at their head coach in front of an entire locker room. Like, can you imagine if they didn't fire Matt Eberflus, what that locker room would be like after Jalen Johnson pantsed him in front of the entire team in the locker room on Thanksgiving Day? It'd be almost impossible for it to carry on after that. So Jalen Johnson potentially was making things worse than they already were. And anybody else who spoke up in that locker room after that loss were potentially making things worse than they already were. But at the same time, it was already pretty damn bad, and their frustrations and irritation with what was going on was justified because Matt Eberflus was failing them. Now, on the flip side of that, they were failing him. And yesterday, Matt Eberflus wasn't there, and they failed all of us. They failed all of us, and they had no Matt Eberflus to blame it on. But I wouldn't term it acting like brats. Maybe they did deserve to be embarrassed. Maybe they the second part of that text where he says they deserve to be embarrassed in this one, maybe they did. Because maybe for all the talk that Matt Eberflus wasn't pointing enough fingers back at himself in press conferences after those embarrassing losses, those players were pointing a lot of fingers as well and saying, hey, man, this ain't us. Look at what's happening. Look at these play calls. Look at these decisions. Yeah, but you also could have played better. And maybe those bad play calls or those dumb decisions either aren't, they don't happen because you're in a different game situation, or they don't matter as much. Everybody owns a little bit of how wrong and how bad this thing has gone. But the Bears being embarrassing after firing Matt Eberflus does not get him off the hook at all, or make me go, oh, well, maybe he wasn't such a bad coach. Maybe he got a raw deal. No, he was bad. He was every bit as bad as it looked. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Northwest Indiana. And Bernie, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Bern?
Hey, Rami, what's going on?
You? What's going on with you?
Nothing. You know, I have a different take on the Bears, you know. All year, everybody said they were going to be 10-7, 11-6. They were going to the playoffs. You know, they got this great quarterback. And, you know, in order to go to the playoffs, you need Pro Bowlers. And, frankly, the Bears have no Pro Bowlers. I mean, you know, they have mediocre players at best. Most of these guys wouldn't start on another team, okay? And, you know, I think that's where the problem is, you know. John Fox, when he took over the Carolina Panthers in 2002, said, I can take over this team, he said, but I got the same garbage that was 3-13 the year before. So, you know, I think they need to change. They need to change what they have out there, because whatever they got there isn't working. Those guys that, the guys in the locker room that chirp and open their mouths, they're to be the first ones to go.
I appreciate the call. I don't know that I'm firing, that I'm cutting everybody who chirped in that locker room, because, again, it was, look, man, if you're right, I'm not going to sit here and go, yeah, but why'd you say that? If you're right, you're right. There are ways to handle things, I understand, but their frustrations with Matt Eberflus and them chirping in the locker room, they had some points. You know what I mean? They were making some good points when they're talking about the things that were going wrong for this organization. But also, at the same time, they were a part of it. And I don't know that they understood that they were as big a part of it as they were. And all of this stuff, Matt Eberflus not owning his share of the blame, the players chirping and not sharing their part of the blame, going out there and not being ready or not being competitive to start football games consistently, which shows me your mindset and in your preparation for games on a week-to-week basis. All of this goes to, yes, I know it's a cliche, but all of this goes to culture. All of this goes to the tone that is set in your building. And all of this goes to Ryan Poles. Either not setting the right tone or not setting the right culture himself, or not knowing how to identify the right dudes. And I don't just mean what they can do in a combine or what they put on tape in terms of the abilities that they flash, but knowing how to identify the personality traits in these guys. That's going to lead to a good locker room and good culture and guys having some pride and being competitive and not going out there week after week after week and getting your ass handed to you for the first half of football. All of that stuff goes hand in hand, man. But yeah, it starts, you know, it starts with the guys that you put on the roster. And are they talented enough? Are they as good as the guys they're going to line up across from? But from talent to culture to tone to coaching, all of this has not been good enough. And all of that goes back to Ryan Poles at the end of the day. 312-644-6767. Let me get in a text here from Kevin. I think we're at the point in the season we need to start letting Tyson Bagent play to let him develop. The season's lost, and it's time to test teams in the league. If Caleb gets hurt, 56 sacks is way too much for Caleb to endure. I'm surprised he hasn't been hurt yet. No. I don't care if Tyson Bagent is developed. I don't care.
He's not Caleb Williams.
I'm not worried about Tyson Bagent being developed. I don't think there is nothing to the idea of let's get Caleb out of harm's way. That thought has crossed my mind as he's been sacked 57 times and there's nothing left to play for this year, especially after the Patriots game, because that was like 2 weeks in a row of Caleb going in the wrong direction developmentally while he's getting his ass handed to him and getting sacked every other play, and while you're losing and not playing for anything. At that point, I was like, maybe you just shut him down and look to next year just so we don't get this guy killed and broken in his rookie year. But once he started getting it turned around and we saw those three games leading up to the 49ers game, I was like, all right, as long as he's progressing and developing and moving in the right way, I'll put up with the other stuff, including all the hits that he takes, because you got to go through that as a quarterback in the NFL. But if, man, two more games of them looking like they did against the 49ers, and I might be right where Kevin the texter is. Not we need to develop Tyson Bagent, but to the point of going, well, maybe we just protect Caleb from this point.
Isn't it weird, though, how this entire season, it feels like Caleb Williams, the first three games, he wasn't great. The next three games, third highest passer rating in the league. The next three games, back to weeks 1 through 3. And then games 10 through 12, it was almost on par with weeks 4 through 6. It's come in bits and pieces, and now I'm starting to wonder, I know it's a weird pattern, but are we going to see another game or two where he doesn't look that great, because it's been very on and off?
No, you're right, and it is weird that it's been those three game chunks of him
literally
being good,
three,
then bad,
three,
good,
three,
then
three.
Bad, then good, yeah. Then bad. I hadn't noticed that. That's a good catch for you. Let's go to Las Vegas. Chicago Johnny listening online on the Odyssey app. What's up, Johnny?
Good morning, guys. Guys, my father gave me one piece of advice. He said, son, it's okay to make a mistake. Just don't keep making the same mistake twice. So far, the Bears are making mistakes 13 times. My simple, the $64,000 question that I have, why? Why do we keep making the same mistakes? What's the problem? And let's be real, guys. We got 5 games left. They're not going to be any easier to schedule who we got to play. They're not, I mean, the teams that we got to play, they're coming after us. And I just want to know, what is wrong? What's the problem?
I can tell you. Johnny, I appreciate the call. First of all, no, it doesn't get any easier. This might have been the easiest game you had left on your schedule as the Chicago Bears. Seattle is in first place in that division, and I don't need to tell you what the rest of the Bears division is doing in terms of the Lions and the Packers and the Vikings. They just win. They put up a lot of points. They have good defenses. They're everything the Bears are not. So that's what's going on there. But why, Johnny? Why do they keep making the same mistakes over and over again? Because the McCaskies are hiring the presidents, who hire the GMs, who hire the coaches, who select the players, who select their coaching staff. It starts at the top. They don't know how to hire good people. If you're hired by the Bears, I have my doubts about you simply because you were hired on the Bears. Just on that fact alone. If you were hired by the Bears, I'm like, your resume looks good, but what is wrong with you? Like, what am I missing here that the Bears hired you? Because they don't hire good, smart people. They just don't. I'm convinced that if they hire the right next head coach, it's not going to be because they had the right people, good, smart people, and the right systems and the right processes in place to go out and find the right person. They're going to luck into it. They're going to fall ass backwards into the right coach if they find the right coach. I made this analogy the other day on the evening show on Wednesday. Different audience, so you probably didn't hear it. And it's a really good analogy, so let me run this one by you. The Bears, if they find a good head coach, it's going to be like we all probably have that friend, or maybe we are that friend. I am that friend who's just not good at dating. You know what I mean? They're just not good at it. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them. They're not ugly. They don't have a bad personality. They just don't know how to meet people and date. You might say they have no game. They're just not good at dating. You know what I mean? But then one day, somehow, some way, you turn around and you're like, how do you end up with her? How do you do that? That's crazy. That guy's been terrible at dating. He doesn't know how to date. And that person just landed in their lap. That's crazy. Like that's and good for them. I'm happy for them. They deserve it. They deserve love and happiness, but that didn't happen because they knew what they were doing. The right person just walked into their life coincidentally. That's what's going to have to happen with the Chicago Bears. They're not going to do it because they're smart. They're not going to find the right person because they're good at finding good people. No. They're going to have to get lucky and just stumble into the right person. That's what I was hoping Thomas Brown was. That this guy was just in the building and they were like, oh, that's a head coach right there. Look at that guy. We haven't seen one of these in forever. Look at that. We got ourselves a head coach. And maybe that ends up happening. I don't know. This definitely was not a good start to the Thomas Brown era or tenure as the interim head coach, and should he ever turn that into a permanent position, not a good start. But that's what I was hoping Thomas Brown was just that right person that fell in the Bears' lap, even though they're bad at finding good people. 312-644-6767. Here's a text from the 702 before the break. The two high draft choices at defensive tackle, Pickens and Dexter, getting caved in on every running play might be grounds for Poles firing. Anthony Billings going down, crush this defense. Yeah, we heard a lot about those two guys, Pickens and Dexter, and we heard a lot about Billings. And they have not lived up to the Billings, so to speak. See what I did there? That was pretty clever for 4 in the morning. 312-644-6767. Whatever Bears thoughts you have on your mind. I've had a lot tonight. A, that was just embarrassing. All those players, everybody who went out onto the field at Levi's Stadium should be embarrassed and have no coach Eberflus to blame it on. I also talked about the culture of this team and that they're not just a good head coach away, and Ryan Poles has to wear this as much as anybody as well. And was it a good idea to take Thomas Brown's focus off of Caleb Williams? You want to get in on any of that or any other Bears thoughts? You need to get off your chest. You are the star of this overnight show at 312-644-6767. More of your calls and text in just a few minutes, and more from the guys on the postgame show. I'm Rami Makhlouf. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.